Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. We're all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. My name is Raul, and I am in Northwest Washington, and it is a beautiful day today. And it doesn't matter whether it's sunny or cloudy out there. This is the day that the Lord has given us, and we will rejoice in it. And in the studio with me today is Steve. And Steve, good to have you here today, brother.
Good to see you, Raul. This is a day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Boy, I tell you what, we I like that, man. We twin that up a little bit, Yep. You know? So, you know what? We are here because we are compelled to let other men know if you're in challenge times or even if you're in times of gratitude and good things, we're here to say, hey, you need to go out and let others know of what's taking place in your life. If it's something that's taking place that is in the darkness, you want to be able to receive some sort of assistance from other brothers who understand where you're at, that they might very well have been there at one time or another. It doesn't matter what it is that we end up going through. We always believe that there is a part of us that are unique, that nobody understands exactly where I'm at. Nobody's ever been here. And I have come to find out, and I've spoken with a lot of men over my days that I've been on this earth, along with my own challenges, that there's not too much that has not been experienced at one time or another. But there is hope, and that hope is for men who are walking the path, men who aren't necessarily perfect, but willing to give you that encouragement of being able to deal with this one day at a time, one more time, of saying, hey, here we go, brother. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to leave you behind. We're going to walk together. That's what this thing is all about. But we're here today to be able to just bring encouragement and hope and light. Before we start and get into our topic, main topic of each day, we receive emails, and we have a few of them that Steve actually has gone through. Brother, if you have a challenge or a question or something you'd like being brought up, we'll answer it anonymously. No one's going to know who you are, but we'll be able to announce, and we'll let you know that what day that is that we actually are answering that question. So today, by the way, if you do want to send something in, you can send it to help. H-E-L-P, at bandofbrothersradio.com. Anyway, Steve, what do we got today, brother?
Well, I'm looking these over, Raul, and there are three here that are all interesting. One says, isn't seeing nudity in movies okay as long as I'm watching it with my wife? That's one question that at some point along the way we're definitely going to answer. Another one is there a way to keep impure thoughts out of my head? And I think we visit that subject pretty regularly, but that's another one that we can address specifically along the way. But here's today. Today, a woman writes, I am planning to divorce my third husband. Is it my fault? It's short, but it's clear, and it raises a number of questions, which I think it would be very helpful for us to respond to this morning. So, Raul, my dear brother, what would you say to this woman?
Well, I would probably start off with asking a whole bunch of questions if she was right here to try to get some clarification.
Of course you would.
But in this case here, when all of a sudden it's like, okay, here it is, I'm planning. You know, first, that word planning kind of gets my attention.
Okay.
It's like all of a sudden it's like, okay, you're planning on. So in other words, she hasn't really revealed anything to this third husband yet. And what happened in the other two, it does not really matter. But here you are in a situation planning on divorcing your third husband. And then, you know, that means that there's something in your mind that you're actually trying to manipulate, control, put together, set a certain way so that it goes a certain way. You know, I can relate with this in a certain sense, is that I have been divorced 3 times myself. Did I plan on those? Not necessarily. Did I get to a place where I, you know, of sitting there going, you know, I don't have an answer? And in some cases it was, well, in any of the cases, divorce is not necessarily the best thing to be doing. But I know this, is that somewhere along the line, especially after my third divorce, I had a real confrontation with God.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I realized that I needed to take a look at me rather than at everyone else. And what I had done myself is I had actually, I had told the Lord, it had broken me to a place, brother, where I just said, you know what, I can no longer do relationships. I don't know how to do them. I'm not sure I even want to. I'm pretty sure I don't want to. And I asked the Lord to take away all of my desires to be in a relationship, whether it was for physical reasons or spiritual or emotional reasons. I asked him to take it all away. So I did not desire that, except one thing, desiring to know him more. Okay. Now, I don't know what she is looking at and where she's at, whether she's a believer or not. But I know that when you're sitting here and you're planning on divorcing your third husband and want to know whether it's your fault or not, I know this from my own experience is that there are always two halves to every whole thing, okay? And in a marriage, there's two stories to everything that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where else I can go other than I would say this, is that, you know what, a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is where the true source of healing, of restoration, of being able to feel true joy and peace and no longer bound to whatever the challenges are that may be in your life that have affected every marriage that you've been in. Because there are some. You need to wake up and smell the coffee. There's some challenges here that need to be addressed. But you don't have to do it alone. And I know that my brother Steve is going to come up with the rest of this, kind of follow this up and probably knock it out of the park.
This is a, and I appreciate this woman sending this question. Yeah. This question opens up so much for us to consider and talk about. First of all, I want to say at a personal level, Raoul, I've been hurt physically. I've been in car wrecks and motorcycle wrecks. I've laid in the hospital for 10 days. I'm the oldest of 5 children. I've stood with my parents as they've buried 3 of my younger brother and 2 of my sisters. I've known a lot of pain in my life. But the greatest pain I ever experienced was the pain of divorce. Now, I'm here to tell you there's life on the other side through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But this tearing apart of a bond that God intended to last a lifetime is something that wrenches deep down into your soul, mm-hmm. and only the Holy Spirit can bring hope and repair and restoration. Mm-hmm. So now to this sister who sent this email, we don't know your story. You may be in an intolerable situation, and the healthiest thing you can do is to sever this relationship and move on into a new chapter of life with the support of family and friends and godly brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. We have no judgment to pass upon this woman. On the other hand, the question is, what's broken in her soul, in her spirit, in her emotions, that's brought her to this place? Because as you stated, it's never just one party or the other party, and we're all broken. But here she's coming up for the third time, and she's planning, and she's asking the question, is it my fault? Which means that it indicates to me she's dealing with some sense of shame and guilt. And maybe that's been assigned to her by the people around her, or maybe it's coming out of her own personhood. We are in a spiritual battle, the scripture tells us, against the forces of darkness, the rulers of evil in the heavenly realm. And when the scripture tells us in Ephesians to, we talk about putting on the whole armor, and sometimes we get so focused on the picture of the armor, we fail to really see the words. But the very first word there is the word truth. Mm-hmm. And truth, as Jesus said, is the thing that will set you free. So what I would say to this woman is the other thing is, so many times in a divorce, when somebody's making a plan, the plan is, underneath that plan is to get out of this relationship out of the desire to get into another one. Mm-hmm. More often than not, there is a third party involved, either actually, physically, or mentally and emotionally, and there's a delusion. If I could just be with that other person, my life would be better. Right. The reality is that you're sowing seeds of destruction into your life, into your relationships, and things don't get better when you go your way instead of God's way. Mm-hmm. So she really needs godly counsel. She really needs godly support. She needs to push the pause button and stop and think about what she's doing. But the scripture tells us that truth, righteousness, peace, faith, the sword of the Spirit, mm-hmm. that these are the weapons that we fight with. And so what I would say to this sister is, before you carry out your plans, push the pause button and ask yourself, am I being deceived by Satan, or is this a necessary step I have to take for my emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being? But the devil came. The word devil, in the Old Testament, he's called Satan, the adversary or enemy. In the New Testament, he's called the devil. The diablo, the word devil means to wrench apart. And that's what he does. He wants to wrench us apart from our relationship with God. He wants to wrench us apart from our relationship with each other. So God is a God who heals and restores. So I'd challenge this woman to just push the pause button and give some consideration to, perhaps if she's listening, and we ask God that she'd find a computer today and hear this, to pause before she's swept away in an emotional stream that leads her to a place of further spiritual destruction.
Amen. And place that focus on Jesus Christ, because that's truly where the healing will be coming from. When we come back from our break, we're going to go ahead and delve right into what we have been talking about in the life of David and his experiences, his life's experiences, what that means to us. And truly, is there God restoration for us? You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices. And guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to the Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and I have Steve in the studio with me today. And, you know, we have been talking about the life of David. As a matter of fact, we've been talking about David's life, where he had spent it and it had gone over the last few weeks and on that we've been talking about this, where it is the story of him on the rooftop, where we believe that he was probably up there to praise and honor God and pray to God in the evening. But his eyes were drawn to something else, and that was a woman taking a bath, and that happened to be Bathsheba. And where that led to in the flesh to him, actually, I'm sure he probably stopped praying at that time and decided to go another route, and in turn walked through not only the temptation but that led into sin, but led into even more sin, where Bathsheba's husband is killed as a result of what he had laid an order out to have him killed, so that there was no blood on his hands. And in turn, he ends up marrying Bathsheba, doing the honorable thing, so to speak, and in turn, she's already conceived a baby, and then Nathan, the prophet Nathan, comes through and actually comes. The Lord said, "You go talk to him. You call him on this. Rebuke him on this, so that he knows that he's not get away with this, so to speak, this sin." And in turn, as a result of going through all of this life and all this challenge that he's had, is actually we can see ourselves and how we ourselves have been this way at different times, and how we've applied, whether it be fear or jealousy or condemnation or control, or, you know, and we take it as we are the ones, we, you know, the buck stops here type of thing, you know. And so David, as the king that he was, he kind of went over, you know, there was a line that the Lord had drawn, and he actually went over it a few times, and thinking that he was exempt. And he come to find out that he wasn't. And so we're right now in the middle of where Bathsheba's, the baby was, is actually, I don't recall if we talked about the baby, of course, dying.
And well, that's exactly where we're at today, and great point. You know, sometimes when a person is successful, is in a position of power, other people begin to look up to them. Mm-hmm. It's easy for us to fall into the trap that somehow we're exempt, that the same rules don't apply to us that apply to other people. And David did cross the line. He did take another man's wife. He did have the man killed. It was all done in secret, or so he thought. But nothing is hidden from the eyes of the God with whom we have to do.
Right.
Hebrews makes that very clear, that it refers to the God to whom we will give an account.
Right.
So God sends Nathan to David. And it's important to see that if God didn't love David, God wouldn't have even bothered with him. But God loved David. And remember, David's the man after God's own heart. This is the sweet singer of Israel, the worshiper, the mm-hmm. praiser, the poet, the king, the leader. But he's fallen into this secret sin. But it turns out it's not secret at all. And Nathan goes to him under the anointing of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and confronts him. And David responds in repentance. Mm-hmm. So Bathsheba has already conceived, and David has married her. And we're dealing in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. Now, you and I are living under the New Covenant, which the New Testament tells us is a better promise, mm-hmm. Sealed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we are saved by grace. Mm-hmm. But David's under the Old Covenant of the law. And God judicially is handing out judgment many times right on the spot. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, Jesus bore our judgment for us.
Yes.
And so we have a different relationship with God than they did in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. In fact, somebody said to me here not too long ago, well, God was different in the Old Testament than he is in the New Testament. The answer to that is God's not different. He's never changed. Mm-hmm. What's different is, as it tells us in the book of Hebrews, we have a better promise, a more sure promise, because our life with God is based upon what Jesus has done for us. But as a consequence of David's sin, God says, I do forgive you. You're not going to die. But the child that is born to you, that child will die. So in verse 15, it says that after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And the child became ill. Verse 16, but David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted, went into his house, and spent the nights lying on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused and would not eat food with them. And on the seventh day, the child died. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what's surprising, and here's our message to men today. David has this terrible failure in his life. He's now experienced a great deal of loss because of his failure. While that child is still alive, David has so much love and faith towards God that he fasts and prays because he knows this God is a forgiving God, and he does not give up on the forgiveness of God, that maybe God would change his mind. Mm-hmm. Now, the servants feel like, because typically people would start fasting and praying and not eating after the death. The baby dies. David gets up, verse 20, and after he washed himself, he put on lotions, changed his clothes, went into the house of the Lord, and he worshiped. Mm-hmm. And then he went to his own house, and at his request they served him food. And his servant said, verse 21, why do you act this way? And David said, while the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now the child is dead, you get up and eat. And David answered, when the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back? The answer is no. I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Mm-hmm. The scripture goes on to say, right. Then David went in, comforted his wife, Bathsheba. She conceived. She brought forth Solomon, and the scripture says, whom the Lord loved. Now, here's the message. The message is there are devastating consequences when you and I fall into sin. Mm-hmm. But it is not God's will on the other side of that, when you have repented, for you to live the rest of your life in this sense of shame and remorse and regret. Mm-hmm. And where you're always looking backwards, where for the rest of your life you're defined by what you did. Now, God forgave David. It became part of his personal history. But David rises up, and we see this in Psalm 51, this song of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. On the other side of repentance, it's time for a man to get up, to embrace the truth of God, and to go forward in confidence, having learned about his own frailty, having been humbled by his own failure, but not living in shame, because the blood of Jesus, Raoul, the blood of Jesus, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. So there is life on the other side of failure, and David shows that.
And what a way of being able to, today, be able to know that Jesus actually took on all of that for us. And because of that, believe I think in a certain sense, he's made it easier for us to be able to come to him. And to be able to say, forgive me for what I have done. Now, he's just looking for a few things. He's looking for our obedience. He's looking for us to follow him. He's looking for us to turn away, repent of our way, and say, I no longer want to follow that, because you are the answer. And truly, I believe an awful lot of what takes place in my life and has been is the fact that he's been trying to get my attention for a while. He's been trying to get me said, hey, hello, can you see what you're doing? The decisions that you have made, if you turn away from that and come to me, trust in me. I'm not going to sit here and condemn you to hell. Come to me, and I'll forgive you if you ask for forgiveness. And if you repent, I will bless you.
Well, that's it. God brings us to a place of repentance. And as followers of Christ, and as men in particular who are seeking to have authentic relationships with other men, which is based upon truth-telling. It's based upon bringing, what's
not hiding the secrecy of sin and having a private life, but bringing it out into the open and being having the security in our relationships to be able to say, you know what, I'm struggling with this, or I'm struggling with that, or pray for me, or I fell into this. It's all based upon the sacrificial, atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, where the Bible says that he made him, Jesus, God made him, Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So grace has set us free. Now, it's not set us free to go on living in sin, but it has set us free from the condemnation and guilt and shame of our past sins. If any man be in Christ, the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. The old has passed away and the new has come. And that's what stirs our heart to worship God with everything within us, because Jesus has set us free.
You know, brother, I'm gonna ask you what I think might some of the questions on some of the men who might be listening, of sitting there saying, you know, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and over the last couple of years, I've been working and living in the dark, and I don't know if he even wants to see me, much less sit here and say, I'm going to forgive you. Because of the atrocities that I've committed and the things that have taken place, and I'm hiding them, if I bring them out into the light, I could be imprisoned, I could be in trouble, it would take away every opportunity I have of living today. Why would I want to do that? And in a sense, why would you want to continue there? Because is it not the battle between my flesh and the spirit of actually what it is I need to be doing? I know that for myself, I could keep running. Eventually, I'm going to get tired. And eventually, I'm going to get to that place, and I'm going to do what most wild animals caught in a corner are going to do, and that's just kind of go crazy. And anything that's in front of me is going to have to get in trouble, so to speak, or reap the consequences. But what would you say to that brother?
There is nothing, there is absolutely nothing in our lives that is hidden from God. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love for us, Raul.
Yes.
While we were still sinners. There nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. While we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love in that Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned.
Right.
He came to save the world. He came to save us out of the world. There's nothing about the human condition that God doesn't know. He has seen you and I at our worst moments. He's seen every man at his worst moments. But here's, you know, love as defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And people, we so frequently only read this at weddings and think it's about a husband and wife and kind of a Valentine's Day thing. But love, this is the love of God. And love keeps no record of wrongs. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
And this is God says this over and over and over. Their sins and transgressions I will remember no more. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, you know, I want to say to every man, you know, stop hiding behind this false guise that your sin is so bad that God is going to overlook it, and come to the moment of truth. You are still embracing the darkness. There's something in your fallen nature that loves the darkness. You're trying to get there's a deep longing in our soul for intimacy, to know, to be known. There's a hungering in our hearts. As men, we're reaching over here in the darkness, trying to satisfy it. It will never be satisfied until we come into a living, spirit-filled relationship with God. And even then, now that we're Christians, our flesh, our fallen nature, because we have two. You have an old nature and a new nature. And your fallen nature keeps wanting to make an alliance with the devil, with darkness.
In fact, they want to make an alliance, and they want to vote your spiritual nature off the island, right, so to speak. But the place of agreement is the place of power. Mm-hmm. You're either going to get in agreement with the darkness, or you're going to get in agreement with the light. Mm-hmm. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What's fellowship? You and I are having fellowship this morning. We are in agreement that we are weak, broken, frail, vulnerable men. We're in agreement that the only answer for us is to be honest with each other and to turn our lives wholly and fully over to God.
Amen.
But in doing that, that's the place of power. In fact, just you and I sitting here talking about the things of Christ edifies, I don't know about you, but it edifies me, it strengthens me,
yes,
and it builds up my faith. It's like putting fuel in the gas tank, because we're in agreement. So what I would say to a brother who says, well, I came to Christ, but I'm still struggling, well, you're going to struggle all of your life. And if anybody tells you that someday you're going to be so spiritual that you're never going to struggle again, I'm here to tell you they are not telling you the truth. And David's life is a perfect example of that. Here is a man after God's own heart who puts his guard down. And when he puts his guard down, the enemy sweeps in to wrench him from his relationship with God. Same thing for you and I. Yeah. You put your, I don't care how many radio programs you do, how many Band of Brothers sessions you lead, dear brother, if you put your guard down, you're going to get knocked on your
keister.
Thank you.
Hey, brother, if you're listening and your tank is only half full, stay tuned. We're going to fill up the rest of it when we get back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years, and the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. I was lost when you found me here. I was broken.
Back to Band of Brothers Rodeo. Sometimes I feel it's like a rodeo. I was sitting here listening, reading the end of Psalm 51, and it had on here, then bulls, and I'm thinking, I must have had rodeo on my mind, thinking about bulls. I have a good friend of mine that rode those professionally, and he is walking around as his, he's about my age, but I tell you what, I know that his back, he's had problems ever since for quite a while. But anyway, we're talking about being broken in a sense, and what does that require? And what does that look like? And what does that feel like? Being able to get to that place, because that's truly where the Lord wants us. He wants our spirits to be broken. He wants us to have a contrite heart, of being able to say, you know what, I have no more answers here. I am done living the way that I'm living. And I'm willing, finally willing today, to do what it is I need to do. To be able to come to know you, Father, that you are the creator of the universe of all things. You created me, and that you created me for a purpose and a reason. And sometimes I don't believe that, and I'm not sure if that is really true for me. It might be true for all of those others, but not for me because of the sins that I have committed. But you know what, brother? He loves you. He wants you to come to him. Just come to him. You don't have to go through and lose everything in your life or coming close to losing your life on this earth. He just wants your heart. See, he judges us by our heart. We just have to say, Father, take this. It is misused. It is banged up. It's hardened in areas, but there's still blood pumping through this. Take this, Father. Heal it. Restore it. Manipulate it. Mold it into what you want it to be, Father, because I am yours. And you know what, brother? Anywhere near that type of idea or in your heart, truly God listens to that, and he loves that. He's going to open his arms up, and he's going to have you come in. It's no different if you were had a child who's a toddler who is learning how to walk, and they start to fall, or as such, they reach up to you and ask you to pick them up to hold them. That's how he looks at you. All we have to do is reach up to him, and he'll pick you up, and he'll hold you. He'll keep you warm. He'll keep you fed. He'll comfort you, okay? And he'll remove those things that will keep you from knowing him out of your life, but you just have to be willing to let him take those things. Wow. Okay, what was that all about?
Well, I think you're right on the mark. Here's what we're saying to men this morning. David was a man after God's own heart. He put his guard down, and he fell into sin. He thought his sin was secret, but nothing is hidden from God.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, God sent Nathan the prophet, confronted David. Now, David has the power to kill Nathan. You know that.
Yes.
I mean, he can keep this sin secret or try to a little bit longer. He's already killed one man. No reason he can't kill another.
Mm-hmm.
But David is convicted in his heart, and he immediately repents. Upon repentance, he's under the old covenant, not the new covenant, the better promise in the New Testament. There is immediate consequence, and one of the consequences is the child that has been ill-conceived is going to die. The baby is smitten by God, and the Bible says for 7 days, David lays on the ground, and David tells his servants later, he said, I did it because I thought God might relent. So David knows, remember, he's the man after God's own heart. He knows the heart of God. The heart of God is full of compassion and full of love. But in God's purposes and plans, that baby dies. The servants are surprised that David doesn't go into deep mourning.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, David gets up, changes his clothes, washes his face, goes down to the place of worship, worships the Lord, and goes home and eats. And they say, well, why are you doing that? And he said, well, while the child was alive, you know, I thought maybe God would relent, but now he's gone. He will not come to me, but I will go to him. And it's a picture that David has stepped across this terrible moment and come out on the other side with a resolve to walk in fellowship with God. And what we're saying to men today is if you're in the middle of that crash zone, you're going to have to do business with God.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to come clean. There is a time, and you and I have talked about this, there is a time when a man has to do his inventory. There is a time when a man has to sit down and say, you know what, I can't blame my wife, my pastor, my boss, my parents. It's I have sinned, and he has to own his stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the middle of that dark moment, you've got to deal with it. But when you've repented and you've confessed your sin, and you've brought it out of the darkness and into the light, there's a moment where it's time in a spiritually healthy, biblical way to step across to the other side and get on with the business of living for God. We have been redeemed. We have been washed in the blood. And God is who he says he is. He does what he says he will do.
Mm-hmm.
And by faith, we receive that. And that's when we begin to experience the power to live a new life.
When we come back from our break, we're going to try to do our very best of not wrapping this up, maybe kind of pointing it all in the right direction so you have a direction to head down Boy, did that make any sense? I'm not sure. But you're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio, and Steve, we're right in Psalm 51 that David had wrote to our Savior, and
absolutely, you know, and Psalm 51 is very specifically the psalm that David wrote after he had been confronted by Nathan, and it is his expression of repentance. Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your unfailing love. I mean, David knows God. And that's an important message, that you can know the Lord and still fall into the grievous kinds of sins. And sometimes for religious people, they don't believe that. They're focused on keeping a set of rules. They're kind of like the Pharisees in the New Testament. They really don't have a category for anybody failing. And when somebody does fail, they're very judgmental. And they can assign shame to someone. So you want to be sure you're going to a spiritually healthy church and hanging around with spiritually healthy people who understand God's grace. But David is a picture for us that a man can be passionate for God. That is no guarantee, if you put your guard down, that you are not vulnerable. Because we're at war, Raoul, with enemies that are stronger and greater than we are. And we cannot withstand them in our own strength. And your position won't protect you. Your history won't protect you. What other people think about you won't protect you. Our only protection comes from Christ. And it's so important to remember that we don't have the strength, but greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And so it's Christ in us and the hope of glory. That's our security. And David let go of that. For just the briefest moment. I mean, just and I think that's true for many of us. If we could go back just in the briefest moment, almost in an instant, we made a bad decision that opened up the door that brought hell on earth into our lives. And it wasn't as if we were just, you know, embracing sin, but in the briefest moment, we let down our guard and tried to stand maybe in our own strength. You and I can't do it. It's Christ in us.
Right.
Now, when David's restored here, he says to the Lord here in the 51st Psalm, verse 15, he said, "O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." Here's what I want to say to men. To the man who says, "Well, I gave my heart to Christ a few years ago, but I'm still struggling." Well, first thing I want to say is don't give up, because we have a great high priest who is tempted at every point just like we and yet without sin. And we're invited to come to the throne of grace to find grace to help in that moment of need. But I want to say, David was a worshiper. If you want to get on a pathway that will lead to freedom and deliverance, start worshiping God. Start praising Him out of your innermost being. And the definition of worship is the act and attitude of wholeheartedly giving myself to God. So it's not singing. I mean, it's not the thing itself. It's what's coming out of us.
Right.
But I'll tell you what. If you're a man, I want to say, through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ by faith, we are born again.
Yes.
There's a new day coming.
No more tears, no more death, no more sorrow. God says, Revelation 21, I will make all things new. That's the future kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is in you. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Start, no matter what you're struggling with, start worshiping God. Because when you get your eyes on God and start giving him thanks and praise continually, you're taking your eyes off of that thing that's trying to pull you away. And you know what? You're getting in agreement with the Spirit. And the place of agreement is the place of what? Tell me. The place of power.
Amen.
The place of power.
You know, I think, I don't know what's going on with my voice, but I'm sitting here, I'm going, this just kind of feels like it's going away. I'm sure glad we got just a little over a minute left. But you know, brother, when you were sharing there, the key word that kept coming up to me was grace.
Grace, brother, you know, grace.
In James, because James, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Yes.
You know, did he not say to Paul, he said, it's because of your weaknesses, okay? He's talking about, in the sense that if you stay within me, brother, you stay connected to me, my grace is sufficient for you, okay? Truly, that is truth. That is life. That is the word of God. That's who he is. That is love, purely. Brother, I thank you for listening to us today. You can listen to other podcasts right after you get off of this, when you finish up with this show. There's some other topics there. We have these shows on here all the way since December 1st that you can listen to. This is another option for you to be on the computer, another good place to be. If you're in need of fellowship, you can go to bellinghambob.org. Check out our website and get some encouragement there. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you grace.